Programming sponsored by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Over 100% financing on auto loans. Where you bank does matter.
Politicians on all levels and certainly in powerful positions are promoting and voting for extreme radical abortion laws. If they're Catholic lawmakers, they need to realize there's a higher law than any they can make. And if they violate that, there's canon law. It's a matter of truth and consequences. I'm Sheila Logminas. Time for a closer look.
In this body, we have a super majority of men making decisions and potentially making decisions right now about the health and well-being of women on their behalf. And I reject that. I will not stand for that.
A closer look with Sheila Logminas.
Representative Avery Bourne of downstate Raymond, who is pregnant, led the debate for Republicans in opposing the bill.
This bill will mean that for a woman at my stage in pregnancy, where the baby responds to his dad's voice as he reads him books at night, the woman could go to the facility. The baby is perfectly healthy. But if that woman says, based on my familial health, this is medically necessary, that is allowed.
Examining the culture and reaching beyond the headlines to bring you the real story.
A closer look on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. That first voice you heard in the clip in floor addresses in the Illinois State House was Representative Bob Morgan, Democrat. And the second was the voice, as you just heard the announcer say, of the pregnant Representative Avery Bourne, Republican. The legislation they were addressing is at the center of much focus in the nation. It's the most extreme radical abortion law in the country to date. It surpasses New York even in its radical extremism. And we're taking a closer look at that right now. Joining me first is Bishop Thomas Papraki, Shepherd of the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, the seat of the State House, the seat of the state capital of Illinois, where those deliberations took place and the voting on the abortion law. Bishop Papraki is adjunct professor of law at Notre Dame Law School and a member of the USCCB's Committee on Canonical Affairs and Church Governance. Bishop Papraki, welcome to the program. Thank you for being here and thank you for your voice. Always you bring clarity.
Hello, Sheila. Good to be with you and your listeners.
It's good to have you in because, as always, it's always good to have you in, Bishop Papraki. But now you've made news by issuing a statement. It's more than a statement. It's a decree. And it's a decree declaring that Illinois legislative leaders who promoted and voted for the Act Concerning Abortion of 2017, we know that in Illinois is House Bill 40, which means taxpayers have to fund this, and then the falsely named Reproductive Health Act of 2019, which is the most extreme radical abortion law in the nation, are not to be admitted to receive Holy Communion. And Catholic legislators, furthermore, who voted for pro-abortion legislation are not to present themselves for Holy Communion per canon law. Bishop Papraki, this is laid out so clearly in your decree, as you do so well in legal terminology, but just so accessible to anybody who reads it. It is citing two parts of canon law. Tell listeners what they are.
Well, the two parts of canon law that pertain are canons 915 and canon 916. And canon 915 says that those who obstinately persist in manifest grave sin are not to be admitted to Holy Communion. And so that what that requires is more than one offense. It requires something that's obstinate. That means that a person just is stubborn and won't change their view, and persistent means it happens over a period of time. The second canon is canon 916 that says a person who is conscious of grave sin is not to celebrate Mass. That would pertain to a priest, obviously, or to other faithful, to receive the body of the Lord without prior sacramental confession, unless a grave reason is present and there is no opportunity of confessing. In this case, the person is to be mindful of the obligation to make an act of perfect contrition, including the intention of confessing as soon as possible. Now, that canon applies actually in a wide variety of cases. It applies to any person who has committed a mortal sin. And that could range from being divorced and remarried without an annulment. It could pertain to a couple that's cohabiting without marriage. It pertains to someone, frankly, who has missed Sunday Mass because that's a mortal sin in our church teaching, not to keep holy the Sabbath. And so a person in that situation should simply not present himself or herself for Holy Communion. So what my decree does is remind any Catholic legislator who has voted for abortion that that's a very serious sin, and therefore they should not even present themselves for Holy Communion. But since Canon 915, the canon before that, talks about this obstinate persistence and manifest grave sin, I have singled out two the two leaders of the Illinois General Assembly, the president of the Senate, John Cullerton, and the Speaker of the House, Michael Madigan, because they have persistently acted in this way, and not only voting for, but for pushing and facilitating both HB 40 in 2017, 2 years ago, and then this bill that just passed last week, Senate Bill 25. So their leadership roles in this and fostering this legislation, I think, has actually served as sort of an aggravating factor in this. And so they've been called out for that, and that's really what this decree is focusing on.
And as you well know, Bishop Papraki, that in cases like these are cases where the lawmakers themselves have removed themselves from the communion of the church, just like when someone, when the lay people across the country wonder, why isn't so-and-so excommunicated for something? People excommunicate themselves by their actions and their persistent actions. People take themselves out of communion with the church by their persistent, grave, moral, immoral actions. You point that out, and in your decree, Bishop Papraki, talk about this fact. You start out early on, you cite the College of Bishops together with the Roman Pontiff at the Second Vatican Council. So you cite that about affirming a direct abortion willed at either as an end or a means is gravely contrary to the moral law. So you cite Vatican II, you cite Gaudium et Spes in that, and then you cite Pope Francis calling it a grave, very grave sin, horrendous crime. Then you cite the Code of Canon Law itself. And you cite the United States Catholic, USCCB, Conference of Catholic Bishops, statement on Catholics in political life. You ground this every which way you can, and you show that it seems to me, Bishop Papraki, that time and again, lawmakers have been given the chance, but they just haven't taken it. They just keep taking the votes for abortion.
Well, yes, I've tried to show that this has been a consistent teaching of the Church that goes all the way back to the first century and can be traced right up to Pope Francis and very strong condemnations of abortion. And so one of the things that I have tried to do with this decree, this action, is to be providing a very clear statement about the Church's beliefs and also to refute the notion that some of our Catholic politicians are putting forward, very prominently coming forward saying they're Catholic politicians, but then saying the Church is wrong about abortion. They say the Church is wrong about marriage and family life. The Church is wrong about euthanasia. And basically what I'm saying is, no, you can't do that. You can't reject Church teaching and then stand there and say that you're a Catholic in good standing. The other objective here is really with protecting the integrity of the sacraments. So to receive Holy Communion is a very sacred act, one of the most sacred aspects of our Catholic faith, and so people should not take that lightly. And in fact, our teaching is, and this also goes back to the scriptures, which I also cite in my decree from the letter to the Corinthians. St. Paul wrote that whoever eats unworthily of the bread and drinks from the Lord's cup makes himself guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. And what St. Thomas Aquinas would teach, and the way he would express it, is that you commit a sacrilege. actually by compounding your sin. If you're in the state of mortal sin, and you go to communion knowing that, you then are committing a sacrilege, and that compounds that. So my concern here is for the salvation of the souls of these politicians who are indeed putting their own souls in danger, but also for the scandal that they're giving to the faithful who are wondering how they can do this without any consequences.
And this is exactly another part of it that is often brought up. What about the scandal to the faithful when very high-profile politicians and lawmakers in the country, whether at the federal level, at the state level, who, as you say, are self-declared or self-proclaimed to be Catholic, and very often, very publicly so, they make that claim, then also go against, at the same time, church teaching on matters of grave immorality, when they're seen to go up and receive communion, go up for communion and to take that, and receive it. That's a cause right there for scandal of the faithful. And yet some people now, this is we need to separate civics, right, and the public secular life with the church, because the two just aren't the same. And yet some people opine from the civic level that, well, you shouldn't make Holy Communion a political football. Address that, please, Bishop Aparki, because that's exactly not what you're doing.
Right. This is not intended as a political statement. I issued it, in fact, after the legislation was passed. So doing this week is not going to have any impact on the governor's intent to sign it. He's not even Catholic, and so I think he's pledged that he wants to make Illinois the most pro-abortion state in the union. So I think that's going to happen as he said it would. But as I said, I think my purpose here is really to protect the integrity of the sacraments and the clarity of our faith, and also ultimately it's for the conversion of sinners and for a change of heart. I'm not looking to be punitive here. I'm not looking to punish anyone. I'm looking for them to have a conversion. I didn't take this lightly. I gave this a lot of thought and a lot of prayer. And what I hope to see it come out of this is that these legislators would reconsider, and that they would come to the conclusion that what they've done is wrong, that it is sinful, and then be sorry for that. And so, in order to be readmitted to Holy Communion, which would be my hope here, they would have to have some, I would think, some public act of repentance and some measure to take to reverse this. I mean, I would compare it to, someone who has stolen a great deal of money. The church teaches, yes, you can go to confession and confess your sin and be absolved, but always there's a condition there about restitution. You can't say, well, I stole $1 million. I'm really sorry about that, and then keep the $1 million. Now, if you're really sorry about it, you give your whatever you stole, you got to give it back. And so in the same sense here, you can't have somebody saying, you know what, after further thought, I think that was really bad, and I'm sorry that I voted for this legislation. Okay, if you're really sorry about it and you're still a member of the Illinois General Assembly, then I think you have a moral obligation to try to get it reversed.
Amen to that. And in fact, in some states, they have the ability, as I understand, not all states have this referendum ability for the citizens of that state to get enough petitions or whatever it takes to get something to a voter referendum, even once it's passed into law. I know Father Robert Spitzer brought that up on the show. Anybody across the country listening right now, he said, where you live in a state where some of these grave at the beginning of life or end of life aid in dying at the other end of life, but or abortion laws, grave and extreme laws are happening. He says some of you live in states where that referendum process is possible. Then by all means, you've got to, practically we have a moral obligation, but you've got to get that referendum going and speak to the legal experts who can get that done. So to that point, Bishop Aparki, in writing your decree, you said you gave it a lot of thought and prayer. You looked at canon law very deeply, as you are a canonist. I understand from the materials that the Diocese of Springfield put out about this, that you actually also consulted with other canon lawyers throughout North America before issuing the decree. This is such a grave matter that's a good thing to do, because we're seeing a lot of extreme abortion law in the country. Well, I know you're probably not calling a couple dozen of them, but whoever you did confer with, Bishop Aparki, did they agree with you that we're at a time of such gravity on the life issues that something must be done like this?
Yes, they did, and my reason for consulting other canon lawyers was to make sure that this was canonically correct. I mean, because there are differences of opinion about Canon 915, for example, mm-hmm. and I wanted to make sure that I was as much as possible with the opinion that seems to be predominant, and so in the interpretation, for example, of the phrase "someone who obstinately persists and manifests grave sin," well, obviously, it would seem pretty obviously that that has to be more than one action. So obstinately refers to a person's stubbornness; they're just not going to give in, you know. And so a person who is pushing for pro-abortion legislation and is pointed out to them how sinful and wrong it is, and then they say, well, I don't care, I'm going to push this anyway. That's obstinacy. Persistence is, it's more than once. That's why just one vote necessarily wouldn't qualify for that. So that's why I single out in this case the leaders of the Illinois General Assembly, because they have persisted in this over a period of time. Also, by naming Senator Cullerton and Speaker Madigan, that's also being consistent with the actions taken previously in our diocese here, going back 15 years ago, before I was even bishop here, where Senator Dick Durbin was told by his pastor at the time, then Monsignor Kevin Vann, now the Bishop of Orange, California, told Senator Durbin that he would be reticent to give him Holy Communion because of his long record pro-abortion. And this was 15 years ago, when he already had this pattern of voting pro-abortion, and that was upheld by my predecessor, George Lucas, who's now the Archbishop of Omaha. And so when I came here as assigned to be bishop here in 2010 and was asked about that, was that situation still the same, or would there be any possibility of lifting that ban on Senator Durbin receiving Holy Communion? I said, well, I've seen no change in his policies, and in fact, he has continued over the past several years, recent years, to continue to vote a very, very militant pro-abortion record, so that remains in place for him. So in fairness, someone could say, well, your diocese doesn't let Senator Durbin go to communion. Now, how about these leaders like Madigan and Cullerton? They seem to be pushing just as strongly as he has, and so to be consistent, say, well, yes, you're right. And so if Senator Durbin can't go to communion in this diocese, well, then neither should Madigan or Cullerton.
You know, that brings up, I was going to cite where you cite both Code of Canon Law, Canon 386, and also the statement of Catholics in Political Life, the USCCB's statement, both of them in the duty of the bishop. So you're doing your duty, as you cite here, as the bishop to issue this decree about lawmakers who promote and vote for extreme abortion legislation being must not present themselves for Holy Communion. You're doing your duty, but when I say you're doing your duty, you're the shepherd of the Diocese of Springfield, which is, as I said up front in the show hour today, it's the seat of the state capitol. It's where these legislators live when they're in session and do their work, and maybe I don't know about their other residences, but in your decree, Bishop Abraki, you say that if they persist in this promotion and this vote, the voting as they did, as you named them, your decree says they are not to be admitted to Holy Communion in the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, because they have obstinately persisted in promoting the abominable crime and very grave sin of abortion, as evidenced by the influence they exerted in their leadership roles and so on. To that point of in the communion in the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, and you just brought up Senator Durbin at the federal level, I know a lot of listeners are wondering this. So what would happen then, say, the two legislators you named downstate Illinois, Speaker Madigan and President Cullerton, if they, say, went to another part of the state, to another city, and then presented themselves there, where your bishop in Springfield, but now they're in some other part of the state? How does this work?
Well, in that case, in order to invoke Canon 915, the bishop of that diocese would have to say something about that, make some determination, as I did here. And that's one of the main differences between Canon 915 and Canon 916, because Canon 916 basically puts the burden or the obligation on the recipient of Holy Communion. So the person who is aware of having committed a mortal sin, because in many cases the church authority wouldn't know that. You know, so someone who commits the act of adultery, you know, it's a private action, and that would perhaps never be known to anyone. But in their own heart, they would know that they've committed a mortal sin, and therefore should not present themselves for Holy Communion. Now, if that becomes public, if you have somebody that is married but is very publicly living, cohabiting with someone that's not his or her spouse, well, then in a situation like that, then, and it's not just the bishop, even a pastor, the Canon 915 could be the pastor's telling somebody that you're not going to be admitted to Holy Communion because you're obstinately persisting in this manifest grave sin. And so with the bishops discussed this back in 2004, we had a rather extended conversation on that, because at that time that's when Senator John Kerry was running for president, and people were asking how can a Catholic be pro-choice and be Catholic. And so there was a lot of discussion, and unfortunately we could not reach a consensus at that time. And so the only thing that we could say as the bishops of our country was that that really is up to each individual bishop. They, we said bishops can legitimately make different judgments on the most prudent course of pastoral action, you know, depending on the canonical and pastoral principles and the circumstances. So, you know, we were not clear with a consensus at that point. I'm not sure that we are today. I would hope that we would be. Mm-hmm. Back in 2004, I think the politicians were much more reticent to call themselves or to call, you know, very strongly for abortion measures. I mean, back then they were still kind of using some of the terminology from Bill Clinton, talking about abortion being rare. And they don't use that language anymore. In fact, what we saw it in New York, we saw it in Illinois, where the legislators who were sponsoring these bills, when the bills passed, they were celebrating, they're high-fiving each other, they're hugging each other, like this is, you know, aborting more children is something to celebrate. So I think the conditions in our country have just become worse for that, and I think as a result, I think we bishops need to be stronger in our statements and in our actions in response to these very extreme abortion measures.
Amen to that. I mean, you're listening to Bishop Thomas Paprocki say that we bishops need to be stronger in our measures and our voices heard more. He cites that Code of Canon Law says the bishop is bound to promote the common discipline of the whole church and therefore urge the observance of all ecclesiastical laws. Exactly what he's doing in his new decree, declaring that Illinois lawmakers who promote and vote for extreme abortion legislation are not to receive communion, are not to present themselves even for communion, Holy Communion. And Bishop, you've noted here what your obligation is as bishop. You've just also repeated that, and so we can hear it. I have a real quick call from Mike in Chicago. I'm going to just sneak in here if I can fast, because Mike wonders about our obligation as citizens who vote. Mike, go ahead, if you can make it quick.
Yeah, I'll make it very quick. Bishop, thank you for this decree. My question is, you know, these people only get into office because they're voted into office. So is there a stain on the soul of the voter who perpetually votes these same people into office, which seems to be the case, especially in Illinois and New York and California, where these people just keep getting reelected, and the only way they get in is if they're voted in. So is there a stain on the soul of the faithful if they vote for these people who, in my view, are doing evil things?
Well, yes, I think the voters do bear a moral responsibility for their voting. There's a lot of different factors that go into play in that. Certainly, if someone has the formal intent, that is, I'm voting for this person because I want them to promote abortion rights, well, you know, that makes them very complicit in the same level of moral responsibility. You do get some people saying sometimes, well, you know, I know they're pro-abortion, but I like what they're doing in these other areas, and, you know, I think, you know, you have to weigh all those factors, but in the end, it really is the voters who, you're right, they put these people into office. So, I mean, there's in terms of what I'm doing as a bishop, as I said, this is not intended to be political. It's intended to, right, to protect the integrity of the faith and the integrity of the sacraments. But in terms of getting actually getting the politicians to change, that's up to the voters to make clear to them.
And that's Bishop Thomas Papraki talking about the decree he just issued in the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois. Lawmakers in Illinois just passed the most extreme radical abortion law in the nation, and he has just issued a decree saying those lawmakers who are Catholic and who did so must not present themselves for Holy Communion. We have a lot more to talk about going into through this election year, Bishop Papraki, so we'll continue to talk about this and the obligations of the voters, Catholic voters, what their moral obligations are as well as the lawmakers. Bishop Papraki, thank you for being a great shepherd, a great witness, and being a voice on the air today to clarify. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless all of you.
And you as well, Bishop.